Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 7, verse 31 in the context. Christ's work to take needed breaks from humanly draining, spiritually needy people. We learned in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded onto upright service from personal failure. In Mark's case, he had abandoned Paul and Barnabas at Pamphylia, possibly due to witnessing Paul's emotionally draining confrontation with the wicked sorcerer named Elymas. That's back in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, where he abandoned them. And then Acts 13, 6 to 11, the previous situations where Paul and Elymas had this confrontation. Now, if that's the fact, Jesus' act in Mark 7:31 in the context shows the need for God's servants to take breaks from draining, spiritually immature, needy people to sustain a long-term ministry to them. And we need to study that event for insight. You notice that the lesson tonight is just out of a single verse, because as I was reading it, I was arrested by the word again. In verse 31 of Mark chapter 7, it says, "And again," the Greek word there is palin, "and again," or once again, "departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis." And I was arrested by that, and it's interesting how the commentary, the Dallas Theological Seminary commentary that I use, the Bible Knowledge Commentary, talks quite a bit just about what Jesus was doing in this verse, and it's very important. Well, Mark 7:31 reported how Jesus again, or once again, the Greek word I said is palin, left the region of Tyre and Sidon for the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. Decapolis is on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. That's where a lot of Gentiles lived. And that's quite apart from Capernaum, which is Capernaum on the northeast western side of the sea, was where he had his capital, his home base. But he's circumventing that, he's going around that, and he's going down on the north eastern side of the sea, and then down into the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. Decapolis, Deca means 10, and Polis is town. So there were 10 little towns there, and they were called Decapolis, 10 towns in the area. Now this word rendered again or once more leads us to the extended context to discern the intent of Mark's use of the term. And doing so reveals that beginning in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 32, there's a long series of efforts by Jesus to try to take breaks from the relentless thronging of the Hebrew crowds of people in Galilee. I'm going to start back there, and we'll just look at this once again. In Mark chapter 6, reading at verses 30 to 32, this is all by way of review. This is after Jesus had sent the 12 disciples out. It says, "The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place," or a deserted place actually, "and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure or no time so much as to eat." So following the ministry of Jesus' 12 disciples to Israel, when they had returned to report to the Lord all the things that had occurred in their service, Jesus told them to come apart unto a deserted place, for there were many people coming and going for needed exorcisms and healing by the Lord, so much so that Jesus and his disciples lacked the time to take meals for their physical welfare. See, there's only so many times you could skip meals before you start getting sick, because you get weak, you lose energy, and physically you need meals in order to be able to stay strong enough so that you can continue to minister. If you don't get enough sleep, if you don't eat enough food, eventually you can't do anything for the Lord. And that's the point that's going on here, and that's why Jesus was concerned about this. So Jesus had moved, but this effort had been blocked by the crowds of Galilee. They'd followed Jesus and his disciples' boat around the northern border of the sea as they headed for Bethsaida on the northeastern shore, and Jesus had felt compassion on them so as to teach them many things and to feed the 5,000. That's what happened in Mark chapter 6, verses 33 to 44, quite extensively. Accordingly, still trying to take a break from Galilee's crowds, Jesus put his disciples into a boat to cross over to the northwestern shore of Gennesaret, which is near Capernaum, while he went away to pray alone, followed by his walking to them on the sea to assist them in making the crossing. You skip down to verse 45. It says, straightway, this is right after the feeding of the 5,000, he constrained or he pressed his disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. But of course, when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and so Jesus comes walking to them on the sea. And however, right after that, in landing at Gennesaret, they were again met by needy Hebrew crowds. Verse 53, and when they had passed over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret and drew to shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. See, nobody's gotten sleep all night through. They've fed the 5,000 the day before. They've taken the night to cross. They've crossed the sea. And as soon as they land, you got crowds. So here again, they haven't really had too much of them. The last meal they've had is the feeding of the 5,000. So here they have to minister once again. So in verses 53 and following, they were followed by a rigorous confrontation with the scribes and the Pharisees from Jerusalem who had come to evaluate them and to critique this ministry. So after he heals the sick in verses 53 of chapter 6 on to verse 56, then he has this confrontation with the Pharisees in chapter 7, verse 1, and all the way to verse 23. Well, still seeking to distance himself and the disciples from the throngs, Jesus took his men far north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Notice verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And if you check the Bible Knowledge Commentary, they say, once again, Jesus is really intent on getting a break. They hadn't had a break. They've been trying to get a break since before the feeding of the 5,000. Here they are, trying again. So he finally goes way up north. But you know what? Even up there, there's a person who knows him, the Syrophoenician woman. So she introduces herself, interrupts the Lord Jesus Christ with a big need. So seeking to distance himself and the disciples from the throngs, Jesus took his men far north to the regions of Tyre and Sidon, desiring to retain a degree of privacy, only to be interrupted by the needy Syrophoenician woman. So he had compassionately ministered to meet her needs. It's interesting. In verse 24, he entered into a house and wanted to have nobody know it, but he couldn't be hidden. This is where the woman comes and finds him. But in verse 31, after the ministry to this woman, notice verse 31, and again, see, he's still trying to get away from the crowds, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. So when Jesus had once again, left Tyre and Sidon to go southeast of Galilee in Mark 7:31, he's still trying to avoid Galilee, still intending to stay away from its thronging, needy crowds. Now this is an amazing thing. Jesus had made his capital of his, or the center, the base, rather, of his ministry in Galilee, Capernaum, which is right there on the northwestern shore. But he's doing everything he can to avoid it because the crowds are so incessant. He loved the people, he served them, but he recognized the need to get away from them. Otherwise, it was going to drain him, it was going to drain the disciples. And that's the point that we're making at this point. Well, what is of enormous significance is that these Hebrew crowds in Galilee were spiritually immature, needy people. How do I know that? If we keep our finger there in Mark chapter 8, and we go way back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We find here Deuteronomy 28 is a chapter which contains the Mosaic Covenant. This was a covenant that was made under Moses, in which Moses had told them, if you obey the law, it's going to go well for you. If you don't obey it, it's going to go badly for you. Let me just briefly read that. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, and remember, the people in Jesus' day are under the Mosaic Covenant. They're still under the law. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your cattle, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be the basket in your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in the storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand to. And, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God give thee. The Lord shall bless thee and make you a holy people unto himself as he has sworn unto you. And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And notice verse 11, the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods in the fruit of your body and in the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground and the land which the Lord your God sware unto your fathers. And so forth. Verses 12, he was going to give you rain in your land and you will lend to many nations but not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail in verse 13. And it's interesting, all of these things, and that, of course, included health. But if they sinned, notice the curses, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field, cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kine, and the cattle and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. The Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that you set your hand unto, until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings, that you have forsaken me. The Lord shall make the disease, notice the health problems, cleave unto you, until he has consumed you from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite you with consumption, and with a fever, with an inflammation, with extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting and mildew, and they shall pursue thee until you perish. So, with all of these people being demon-possessed, all of these people having sicknesses and health problems, they were disobedient to the law. And because they were disobedient to the law, the Lord had brought his discipline upon them. So we're dealing with people who are in sin and people who are immature. Jesus was graciously ministering to them, but nevertheless, they were a problem group of people, and a problem group of people simply because they were sinners, a lot of them. I'm amazed in his hometown where he ministered there in Capernaum, when he made that his hometown, he was up until the wee hours of the morning casting demons out. They had demon possession. And these are Jews. So not only were they disobedient, they were extremely disobedient. There was a big spiritual problem there. So as Jesus encountered huge demon and health issues in these people, these folk were spiritually immature and needy. Yet, due to the intensity of their needs, these people were starting to drain the human resources of Jesus and his disciples, seen in the crowds even blocking them from taking meals in Mark 6:31. Besides being a huge mental and emotional drain on them that would have been involved in ministry to such people. I read in one location where Jesus got in the boat with the disciples and he laid down on the back of the boat where they had the rowing cushion and he went to sleep. I did that one day. I was out with one of the men in our church on the lake in a boat. He took me out on my day off thinking that it would be a nice, fun, relaxing time. I went to sleep in the boat. Mondays are my day off and I often sleep in the afternoon. And the boat was rocking like this. Guess what? I was out. And he says, you know, I didn't bring you out here to sleep. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't help it. It's my day off. Well, Jesus did the same thing. He was exhausted. It is exhausting to do that. Well, accordingly, Jesus' example for all of God's servants, that though they were compassionately to minister to spiritually immature, needy people when confronted by their needs, they simply had to take breaks from them. If you're going to minister to people effectively, especially people who are needy, people who are spiritually weak, you've got to get a break from them. If you don't, you'll come undone. So though Jesus felt compassion for the spiritually needy throngs in Galilee, though he ministered to them when confronted by their needs, he withdrew from them to rest so that he could better minister to them in the long term. So if we minister to a spiritually immature, needy party, The intensity of his need drains our human resources, so God wills, as exemplified in Jesus' example, God wills that we take breaks from him better to help him long term. Whenever confronted, though, by such a party's need, as did Jesus, we, of course, must meet it. But when reasonable, we must take breaks from him. God doesn't want us just to come across an individual and turn our back on him and walk away from him. Obviously, we don't want to do that. We want to minister to the person if they're there. But once that's done and we get a break, we got to get the break out. And we all have that point of no return where we recognize that we've reached just about the end of our tether and can't take any more. That's a signal to back away from it and take a break. There's a man in our church, he was talking to me and a couple of other men earlier today. He's had to work so much time, so many hours at the work that he's at, and he hasn't been paid for all those hours. The company's just loading more and more work on. He's gotten to the point where he recognized that it's beginning to hurt him in his spiritual life because it's taken away him away from the church and so forth. So he made the decision he's got to start looking for another job, which is a big step. But it's a wise step. And I was thinking of this message in relationship to that testimony that he shared with us. There comes a point where if we're going to be effective with the Lord, we've got to take a break. I mean, this man has been so busy and working so hard, it gets to the point where it doesn't even make sense. And Jesus recognized this. I mean, when you're getting to the point where you're serving the God to the point where you can't even take meals, something's got to give. Otherwise, you're not going to serve the Lord very long. My father told me this in the ministry years ago. I wanted to know, I was feeling guilty as a pastor taking a day off. My day's off on Monday, and I asked him about it. He said, well, how long do you want to be in the pastor? And I said, well, I want to be in it for the long term. You know, we're talking 20, 30 years, whatever. And Dad said, well, every pastor that I've known who takes a break, a day off, stays long term. He says, every pastor that doesn't take a break, they last about 6 years and they burn out. So how long do you want to stay in the ministry? It's up to you. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I stopped feeling guilty about it. So it's interesting. The Lord wants us to use balance. Yes, he wants us to work. Yes, he wants us to serve him. But he wants us to use common sense. We are human beings. We are limited. We need rest. We need a break. And God wants us to take that break.